Welcome to Strange Tales from Outer Space. Ow, it hurts so much.
I heard it in the cast. It was the funniest thing ever.
Ow.
Doc, you're so bad.
At everything. At absolutely everything.
It hurts so much.
That was good.
Anyway, welcome to Strange Tales from Outer Space, episode 49?
Yes.
Yeah.
Count tonight.
It's the PvP episode, if you want to go that route. Every week
one
we bring
of
you
many?
One of the many, yeah. Every week we bring you the news and views and opinions from all around WildStar Online. My name is Duck, and as always, I have with us Krug.
Hi, I'm Krug. My hand's cool.
Indigo.
Hi, guys.
And our two special guests for this week, Chronic.
What's up, guys?
And B-Pulse.
What's up?
And we're just going to go right into it. B-Pulse, how was your week this week?
Pretty good. Playing a lot of Ark.
We're gonna leave it at that. Chronic, how was your week this week?
My week was the opposite, not having fun because B-Pulse was playing Ark.
I'm gonna also leave that where it is for the sanity of everyone involved. This is not ArkCast, although it wouldn't be a bad name for an Ark podcast.
Doc,
Indigo, how was your week?
My week was fine, but I have to deal with you schmucks every week. So, I mean, it goes from really high to just dirt down low every week that I have to deal with you people.
We love you too.
No, going through attunement this week, did a couple of dungeons. I'm not going to spoil it because I know Krug is really excited about telling the story. So, had a really
I'm
great
excited.
Week.
I'm mad.
No, I was embarrassed, but let's go with Krug. Krug, how was your week?
Hi, my name is Krug, and I've had a shit fucking week. Ready? Ready? This is my WildStar week. It's the worst fucking WildStar week I've ever had. We did a dungeon with a Lord of the Dead spellslinger named... started with an S. Anyone remember the name off the top of their heads?
I do, but I'm not going to do it because you specifically asked us before show. I told you, and then you were like, I'm going to write it down so I don't forget. So.
Shh, I hate you. Anyways, this slinger was just geared to the nines and just was destroying everything, but at the same time was pulling threat and I was healing and it was so hard and it just made me feel like shit because his DPS was so good. And then I did a round of PvP when everybody else was gone. I think it was actually the next day with some people from Gat Like Gangsters. And by with, I mean against. And I got raffle stomped and it was annoying as shit. And that add-on, but we can talk about that later. And then I did housing. And somebody came to my house, like some just random community person came to my house and was just like, this is so barren, I expected more or something like that, and then left. And so I felt like shit for housing.
That's because you kept saying, I'm going to do this in my housing, I'm going to make a haunted house.
Doc, stop talking. And then people made fun of me for not making my bed
just
during Doom Kitty's fucking costume thing, which was just rude. And then during the community event thing, server-wide event, I got stuck in a taxi and logged off. Done. That was my week. Dick munchers.
Wow. Holy crap.
I was yoked, Doc.
Give me a moment.
I need to bring it right down here. There's just too much salt.
That was too good. My week was nowhere near that. So, first off, if you look at the corner of my screen, I have something weird and ominous and giant and black. I treated myself to an early birthday present, and I upgraded my rig. So now I feel a little...
Mute my mic soon enough to say a giant dildo. Sorry.
I'm good. Well, you still got it in there. God damn it. But I got myself a new mic stand. I got myself all sorts of stuff. It looks more professional now. It sounds so sexy. And other than that, my week is not bad. I got to see Jurassic World, and I thought it was a very solid movie, and I hate the internet because of it. And then all hail Uncle Sokken. Just, that's all I'm going to say. If you're from Lords of the Dead or know of Sokken from Lords of the Dead.
Sokken, thank you.
That story, real quickly, we were going through multiple people in Kel'Varath, and this guy from Lords...
We were streaming, and literally got three different... because there was four of us, and then the fifth person, we went through three different people, because they were just like, nope, you're shit, and then left.
And we were just having fun. We weren't aiming for metal. We just wanted to get it done for the contract, so we didn't care if we were dying. We're like, let's just go finish it. So this guy, Sokken, shows up, and he starts pulling insane DPS. We finally inspect him, and he's got half his gear is orange. He's doing double my DPS, and I'm barely leading our group right now.
Half is an understatement. Everything was orange except
for... It was ridiculous.
Two.
So we start joking around in chat and in Twitch. We're like, oh, it'd be funny if he just was naked and he still beat Doc, and Doc just couldn't hold on to it. I'm like, look, if he could do that, I won't play my Spellslinger for the rest of the fucking month, because that's just sad of me all of a sudden, Rabid was in our group. She goes, why is Sokka naked? And it turns out that he's watching and listening to our Twitch stream as this is happening. And with just his boots, his attachments, he still pulled like 4,000 or 5,000 DPS higher than I did. And I haven't really played Doc since.
He deleted the character, actually.
I'm starting over from scratch.
Long live Doc.
So that was pretty much all of our weeks. And yes, dinosaurs are the bad trigger word this week. So we're going to go into the strange tales of the week. So for those of you that don't know, there's a little soiree happening in LA coming up this week called the Electronic Arts Expo. Electronic Entertainment Expo or some crap like that, right? What's the actual name of E3?
I think it's the Electronic Entertainment Expo. It's definitely not arts. You know why? Because art doesn't start with E.
Again, Doc's an art major.
Oh, right, right.
Great observation, Krug.
Thank you.
That's
what I bring to the table.
That's awesome.
That's why we keep him around, really. So, if you haven't heard, NCSoft is going to be dropping a few awesome tidbits at E3. We have no clue what they're going to be yet. But more importantly, they said we're actually going to talk a little more about WildStar this week at E3. Now, I have a very good idea what that might be, but what do you guys think this announcement for WildStar might be? Anybody?
No, dude. What gave you an idea? Because I don't have any idea.
To me, they're going to continue talking about free-to-play in the next drop.
I honestly wouldn't believe... I actually believe that because of E3, they're going to actually officially announce WildStar is going to Steam. Because we have seen the Steam IDs for data mining. And that might also kick off a bunch of stuff.
That's actually not a terrible observation to make.
I have my moments.
Yeah.
But I'm talking
totally
for the
that.
For the Electronics Arts Expo, you know.
Hey, he can balance out sometimes. Super stupid and super good observation. It makes sense.
But no, I mean, honestly, that makes a lot of sense. I could totally see that.
It'd be kind of cool. I don't know what else they're going to talk about. I mean, they're saying loyalty rewards will be talked about later. That's the big thing we all want to know. I don't believe we're going to get much information about that at E3. It's mostly going to be, hey, this is a few signs for Drop 6. You know, to talk about the dungeons. Then we'll talk about possible Steam integration. And I want to know if that'll actually integrate with our current accounts. Because it'd be kind of cool to get like retroactive achievements if I integrate my WildStar account with my Steam account.
Oh, that'd be interesting. I mean, they do log your accounts on your achievements on the WildStar servers. I don't see why they couldn't do that.
That'd be kind of cool. But they also said one more important thing. June 16th, this Tuesday, if you're going to be in the LA Orange County area, NCSoft itself is going to have a meet and greet with various members of their communities from all of their games. So if you are an active player and fan of Aeon, Lineage 2, the upcoming Blade and Soul, and of course WildStar, they say, hey, you can join our team and meet our team for food, drinks, and the magic word swag.
Now, I don't know if I missed it, but did you say Guild Wars 2 was also going to be there?
No. No one said a single thing about Guild Wars 2. Or what was the other one? Terra. NCSoft Terra?
No.
No, are you sure? Could be wrong. Whatever.
No, you're confusing Aeon and Terra, which I do on a regular basis.
But it's just those four. A lot of people do. It's just Aeon, Lineage 2, Blade and Soul, and WildStar. So you can meet all their teams that are going to be there. Guild Wars 2 is ArenaNet now, our chat said, so thank you for catching. But I thought it was still part of NCSoft. Whatever, not a big deal. I could be totally wrong. Ignore me. You got to be 21 and over for the drinks, obviously. There's no RSVP, so if you're in the area, show up. I'm going to be there. I literally work down the street. Literally. So
don't give that
walk.
Information away. That's really stupid.
It's downtown Los Angeles. What else? Do you know how many businesses are in downtown LA?
No, I don't. But you're
exactly.
going to. The internet is resourceful. Your workplace is going to get swatted, and it's going to be your fault.
Oh, my. I'm going to leave it there. I had something I was going to say, but then I realized I don't want to antagonize the internet.
Fair enough.
So it's going to be at Hotel Figueroa. Google search that. There's a link we're going to provide in our chat and in our show notes. So you guys can go check that out. They're actually going to be updating the Twitter for more information and updates as we lead up to Tuesday. And I'm going to assume, I know Chronic and B-Pulse live a little too far away to go, but since you two are relatively close to that area, am I going to see you there?
Maybe? Probably not. I'm going to be 100% honest. I work late, drive home, am exhausted. So,
fair point.
Send me pictures.
I was tempted to try and periscope that, and I realized that's probably a horrible idea.
What's a periscope?
Exactly.
I mean, I know what a periscope is.
That's how we know
is,
we're getting old. What's
it's basically, it's a live stream that you can do
from your
phone.
Oh, that's cool. You should do that.
I wonder if they'll let me. Anyway, that'd let's go awesome. On with the news from that. It would be kind
anyways. Of cool. You just put it in your pocket, cut a little hole for your camera. You're good, dude.
That sounds like a very bad idea. Just sitting there with like my phone in my pocket, with my hips swiveling up and down, like pointing it at Tony Ray. It's like, no, let me get you in hip check. There I go. Now I'm
really glad I can't see your waist right now. Anyways, moving on.
The other big news this week was something that happened in game. And it's something was supposed to be fun, and I don't know how the rest of the community I don't know how they've responded to it. It's been kind of mixed. Just saying. So what happened was the day before, I believe June 10th. I'm sorry. My God, what happened to me tonight?
Just go!
Okay! They put up a simple tweet saying, hey, we're going to have a really cool community or a really small community event in our capital city. So Thade and Ilium. Show up there, 6:30 PDT PM. They figured, Carbine, I should say they. They figured it's going to be a small community event. A couple hundred people are going to show up. Nothing big. We're going to do a cool little thing for them. It'll be fun. And then both capital cities just get swarmed en masse. So no one expected that. I mean, the community kind of expected that. Carbine was taken aback. So as the events happened, they just simply said, we're going to have you go to Daradun if you're Dominion and Algarok if you're Exile. And await further instructions. So if you were, there's pictures all around Twitter because there are people who are posting them. It looked like we had like the, human centipede of taxi cars just flying through Thade and Algarok. We had everyone, I don't know, we'll have to talk to Chronic and B-Pulse about Daradun, but going through Algarok looked like just a swarm, a black mass of just characters jumping up and dying and cats everywhere. It was kind of ridiculous. How was it from Dominion side?
So we didn't get killed. There's no death other than the people that jumped in the water as one of the illusions they gave. And once you were in the water, you couldn't do anything. So you would just drown. as far as the event goes, I feel like the turnout, they weren't expecting it. I think they did have an event planned. I think they had kind of a scripted event planned. But if like from what I noticed, even they were lagging.
Oh yeah,
that's why he fell in the water. He literally like teleported into the water and then disappeared and respawned and then tried to leave, and he was just skipping everywhere, and then the event just kind of ended. I feel like they did have a plan, but they really couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah,
Sunshine, well, and they admitted to having technical issues. I mean, I saw it, and when I was there, everyone's like, "Oh my God, there's a giant pink Rousedower," and I was like, where? And like everyone that I was on TeamSpeak with, only half of the people could see it and the other people couldn't. And I was like, well, this is stupid. And then people are attacking nothing. There were like, and I was like, all right, I don't see anything. So I would leave the area, and then I rewalked into the area, and then boom, a Rousedower showed up. So I started attacking it. Then like halfway through the fight, the other people that could see it in the very beginning, all of a sudden they couldn't see it anymore. And so it was just like this weird, like, all right, well, it's there, but it's not there.
Yeah, and some people were phased out into another, I guess, like side server, I want to call it, what the technical term is. So half your group would be in a different area, in the same physical area, and they wouldn't see it. It was odd. Sunshine went to the forums and said, yes, it was supposed to be an event. It quickly became a stress test, and one that we realized we had assumed a few things that were not the case. And because of that, and they were having feedback on the forums and on Twitter, Omid actually went to Twitter and was talking back and forth with community members. And they're going to take everything they've learned from the event, the pros and the cons of it, all the feedback from it, and they're going to improve upon it next time. Now, there was a bit of an interesting development with the community with this news. So first off, the news is announced. Nothing huge, 24 hours in advance, small community event. That's it. Anybody else notice the massive influx of, ooh, we're getting items? No, we're not. Why are you not giving us items? Blah, 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 blah. Just, it was, I don't know if anybody saw something like that. I did see quite a bit of it.
I didn't see any of it at all.
I did.
But I did see some really just kind of on a tangent to what you just said. I did see a really funny troll-like comment, and Quantum actually put it in his video that he made about this event, which will be in our show notes if you want to watch. It's very funny. So at the end, he has a link or a bunch of trolly comments that he heard during the event, and one of them was, did anybody else get pinks from the Rousedower? Like, dude, No,
that was where the Dominion first pink came from, actually.
That's not true. Nobody got any pink items, all right? If that's a rumor, let's dispel it right here, right now.
It was just interesting. I mean, did you guys expect something from this other than just an odd event in and of itself?
No, dude, no. I expected exactly what it was. A giant mob attacking that's invincible and devs flying around. That's all I
mean. We already got the rewards for the 1 year anniversary. Exactly. Everybody got that. Some other games that I've played, when they do developer events, something to make it special, they'll sometimes give out items that you can only get for participating in that event, which kind of makes them special. It's usually just cosmetic. It's not a pink weapon, that's for sure.
It could have been color pink, but it wouldn't. So, I mean, wasn't pink ordered.
That's something that I think that they could add into the events. I mean, it'll make it special for some people. You know, if I get some more particles to sparkle around my character, the better.
Yeah,
sure. I was so hoping for that too.
Sparkly weapons.
Technically, if you were able to find the party Rouse-Zaur, the anniversary Rouse-Zaur, you were turned into a Rouse-Zaur temporarily until you logged off. That's
correct.
Kind of a gift.
Even if you mounted, you were on your mount as one.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Well, you were kind of one. You were still a naked human, but still one. I don't know what I was.
Yeah, there were some funky, funky looking glitches. Like, I turned into like a naked, malformed, like half my face was total recalled off, and I was behind a Rouse-Zaur, which was really, really weird. People in chat were talking about the beta Deathlop. So these kind of weird events have happened. But honestly, it was just kind of, they wanted to do something that didn't go as well as planned. They're going to do more in-game events in the future, so they say, and they're going to learn from this, obviously, hopefully. Did you guys do the next part of the community event?
Well, I wanted to go with this a little bit, and I wanted to ask you guys, and Doc, especially you, is the giant demonic Rouse-Zaur something in lore?
Not specifically. It was the demonic Rouse-Zaur is actually a strain-infected Rouse-Zaur.
Okay, so the reason I'm saying this is because when I used to play WoW, I remember there being large events like this where, like, you would have huge-ass creatures come in and attack the main cities. But it had more to do with, like, actual lore of the game. And so I was just curious if I was just missing that. Because to me, it's just like when they did the giant lop, like, I actually don't like that. Because to me, it's like you've created a this random thing that would not normally attack the city and just made it to do it.
It's like breaking the story, basically.
Yeah. And
like you have this narrative and then it's just interrupted with like, oh, by the way, random bullshit. And then the narrative continues and you're like, why was that bullshit though? I don't like the bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, that was my issue. I had a couple issues. I'm glad that they did it. I thought it was cool that they announced that they were doing it versus, again, when I was in other events, they usually didn't announce those kind of things. It just kind of happened. And if you were lucky enough to experience it, then you got to experience. If not, you didn't.
I'm going to make a retraction for Doc really quick. A dev, Cadium, said Demonic Rouse-Zaur is not the Strain Rouse-Zaur, so skadoosh, you're wrong.
It is Frost's mortal enemy, if you know who Frost is. During all the beta, all the pre-launch stuff, there's a bunch of videos with where Frost's character, Captain Kills a Lot or whatever the crap his name was, he would start murdering Rouse-Zaur, and in a dream slash nightmare, professional, there we go, he had an evil demonic Rouse-Zaur as his enemy. So I'm totally wrong. I was thinking about the Strain Rouse-Zaur. So anyway,
But yeah, the other thing is that I thought I legitimately thought before the event happened that they were doing this as a stress test for free to play.
Interesting. I didn't consider it a stress test at all until the people showed up. Like once my frames a second dropped down to about 5 consistently in Fade, I'm like, yeah, this is not going to end well. This is straight up free to play. This is hundreds of people, actually, from what they were saying, thousands of people across both factions that were bogging everything down.
And I'm totally down. I thought it was awesome, and I want to see more events like this happening. I do think they do need to improve how they do it. Like, the fact is that they had a giant thing on the screen that says, hey, if you're the Dominion, go over here. And while we're all sitting in Thade, and we're like, well, this is weird. All right.
So you're saying we go to Ilium.
Also, the hint afterwards, the, hey, you guys should go to Ilium, or you guys should go to Fade, like trying to promote like
war.
War on the opposite faction. I thought that was really interesting. I forgot how difficult it was to get to Ilium.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it would be
stupid.
Much better if it was actually on the PvP server. The guards there don't one-shot you.
Yeah.
They don't one-shot you. On the PvE server, it's pretty much a one-shot. I mean, it's right. Very close.
I wonder why they made that
PvP,
change.
It's not. I think you know.
I wonder why they're still making that change. Come on, guys.
Well, they haven't made that change yet.
Oh, they should revert back. I miss the Warbringer, Warhound guards. Those were fun. Just saying.
I've never killed one. The only time I've ever seen anything in a capital city that's an NPC die is during that event.
Yeah, and that was because there was like 50 people on one warbot.
Well, that's the goal, isn't it? Like, that's how the siege should work. You should need an overwhelming force in order to breach that.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be one shot by the guards. It should
be a challenge. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It should be a challenge, but it shouldn't be a one shot. And honestly, the guards shouldn't take an overwhelming force. The warbot should, but the guards should just be like, you know, 10 people.
Well, I think faction leaders should take an overwhelming force. I think guards should take 2-3 people, be able to take them out, no problem. But like 50 people on Warbot is a little much. I mean, one, it's a pain in the ass to get to Ilium. The fact is that Dominion can just no. Dominion can easily just go to White Veil and go north, and they're there. That's not difficult at all. And in fact, they have a teleporter to White Veil versus us going over to them. We actually have to go to an area, Wilderun. Then jump off. Yeah, I have to go to Wilderun, jump off of the map, and then surf all the way around to get over to their base. And that sucks. Like, I think it prevents people from doing events like this. Like,
in chat are saying it's because PvP isn't encouraged on a PvE server. To that I say, encourage it.
Warhound alive.
No. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's encouraging or discouraging. If we're talking about the guards, like the guards, whatever.
My point with this whole like PvE versus PvP server and capital city thing is, if you want to discourage, you don't need to discourage PvP on a PvE server because you have the flag system. So even if like just this giant force gets into a capital city, you're not flagged for PvP, so why does it matter? Like, you don't need to discourage it with more difficult entrance into that city. Does that make sense?
Well, and like, it doesn't change whether you're on a PvP or PvE server on how you get to Ilium. It doesn't, like, if you move over to a PvP server, it's not easy to get to Ilium, period.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole different thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The path between those two places needs to be worked on.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to hoverboard, like, over map boundaries in order to get there.
Yeah. But anybody else played around with that? I mean, everyone else got the Rouse Towers and played around with that. I'm actually really glad to see people go to the capital cities and just mess around. I know there are a few Dominion players that like to make Thade their home at the moment. For some weird reason, people that are in Thade quite often, they'll recognize a specific person that just likes to sit there naked and just talk. How's your day, okay. Guys? How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's quite awesome. That's interesting. Yeah. It's all he does. It's pretty funny.
That's interesting.
But we'll move on with that. So people at EU did not get this exact event. They were rightfully a little upset they didn't get to participate. And so Sunshine did clarify that there is an EU event happening. I don't know if it actually already happened or not, but there's one in the works.
I don't think so, since somebody in our chat was still disappointed that they haven't had one.
Yeah. Which means it's probably going to be a little bit better for you guys, since now they're realizing, oh my god, we destroyed our game for like an hour doing this, and we'll not make that happen.
Hopefully not.
No. But that's all the big news for this week. No patch notes, no discussion. I'm pretty sure next week's show, and then the week after, we're going to get a ton of official news. I hope.
Well, I mean, they've already said that they're going to make announcements at E3. So we know something is going to be announced there.
Yeah.
And so that's, I mean, I doubt it's going to be patch notes, because that would be the worst E3 booth ever. Like, look at this long list of shit we're fixing. Come join the game.
We swear
we're
it's
fixing
not
all of this.
It's not broken anymore.
Why are you talking like in a medieval accent?
I don't know. That's just...
Because it was written on a scroll.
It literally is a scroll at their booth. They don't even have screens anymore. It's just a scroll. So let's move on to the community news. I'm trying to add this as I go on, so I do apologize for being a little bit slow. F you, Google Drive. So this past weekend on Saturday, we had the Nexus Best Dress Gala. There we go. I'm trying to remember the names right now. And that was being presented by Doomkitty and I believe Major Tom. So if you were mm-hmm. on Entity Exile, you got to see people that were very creative with their costumes, and there's a whole bunch of party stuff going on. It was super, super fun. We were given a rundown of a few pictures. I forgot who else was there, but it was a really cool shout out to Strange Tales, which we all really appreciate.
Do we?
I believe we all really appreciate.
Do we? Do we all really appreciate or at least, it? Or some of us really fucking pissed
at least it? Four of the five of us really appreciate.
First of all, you know you weren't pissed.
Yeah. It warmed the cockles of my heart.
So for those of you who weren't in the last episode of STOS, Krug was getting a difficult time about not making his damn bed. So what he did is he specifically flipped his bed on the side, put a whole bunch of crap all over it, and just was a huge pain in the ass. So the community decided, okay, hey, for our lightning round, what we're going to do is we're going to say, I want you to create a costume for a podcaster that does not make their bed. And they recreated Krug's bed. It was awesome.
I will say sheer number of people in some of these screenshots that aren't wearing any clothes whatsoever is kind of disconcerting to me. Like, I don't know how you think I live my life, but
sans pants.
It's, well, I mean, I'm not wearing them right now, so.
I was about to say, stand up, Krug.
No, don't stand up.
Did you notice me slide off camera instead of standing up and walking away looking at
There's a reason why his camera's always pointed up when we start our Skype calls. Just saying. Banned living cereal bowl, just heads up while we continue.
Yeah, that just happened.
So we wanted to give a rundown of the winners, just to reiterate. They were kind enough to tell us this. Let me scroll up here. The winners were, for Fairy Tail, the best color scheme. So Fairy Tail won best color scheme. For best RP fashion, Krita Bathory. For best costume, it was Cassian Frosttail, who was Link from Legend of Zelda. The fact that you can cosplay other genres and other games in this game is kind of cool. We've already seen a few of them before, so it's just nice. For the lightning round, which they were talking about, you had a minute to just kind of mess around with your stuff as fast as you can. For trashy anti-fashion, Dax Grissom's Hobo with a Shotgun. I kind of want to see that. Hobo with the Shotgun is a great movie, by the way. Super villain, Cassian Frosttail won as Venom. Dress as a podcaster who doesn't make his bed. I wonder who won that one. Edric Holiday won that one. Dress as Krug. Not even just a podcaster. He was dressed as Krug. And yeah, Major Tom built the bedroom in advance. It was a really cool surprise thing. There are people that actually recognize the reference, to which I say, Krug, let me see your bed.
Right.
I'm so disappointed in you.
It's actually not really that clean right now, but whatever.
And for best in show, the Space Ranger himself won Buzz Lightyear. Literally, yeah. Buzz Lightyear.
That was such a legit cosplay. Costume. Cosplay.
Chronic Beepulse, have you guys actually seen Buzz Lightyear running around?
What's that?
Has anybody actually seen Buzz Lightyear running around?
No, I've only seen screenshots of the costume.
It's kind of crazy.
That costume's amazing.
Isn't it?
It's awesome.
That's amazing.
It's nuts.
The weird
that
one is
really accurate.
The Woody is even creepier. It almost has like the creepy Woody face vibe. Like, oh, it's so good. It's scary.
Down to the chin. Look at that majestic chin. Ugh. Anyways, I wish I could just look beefcake chin like that, perfectly
let's,
square.
Let's move on. We've got other stuff to talk about and some PvP stuff as well.
Please move on.
So as a heads up, Redditor LaserLouis, who was formerly of ReadyCheck, has decided to share a drive file. So if you are creating graphics for your website, for your guild stuff, for your community stuff, they put up a massive drive file with artwork, with screenshots. So if you need stuff like that, go for it. WildStar Community Magazine number 9 is released, and I've read most of it. I always leisurely read through them when they come out. There's a really fun Chua in character breakdown of weapons in the game. Wildcast is interviewed, really nice guys, Behalter and Avid Guru.
Yeah. WildStar, and they call us whippersnappers, jerkholes.
Wow, that's exactly what a whippersnapper would say. You're a goddamn whippersnapper.
I told them to call them old fogies, but you know.
I did send them a message on Twitter calling them old fogies.
They're like the venerable, distinguished, experienced, wizened lovely old fogies.
Are you going to ask them on a date soon? Do you need some advice?
They're like the Clint Eastwood to our Asian
all
kid.
All right, I get it. Get on with it. Oh, my God.
Wildstorecore gave their opinion of the free-to-play thing, and we got some actually some cool fan lore. People are starting to create fan lore, little snippets in the life of Nexus. So I enjoy that kind of stuff. I think you guys should go check out Wildstar Community Magazine number 9.
And I think the reason Indigo's rushing you so much is because he wants you to get past the lore part so we can talk about PvP.
We're almost done.
Get to the part where these guys tell me how to not die in PvP.
I can't help you
please.
There.
Please.
That's always going to happen.
I know, right?
That's look at Chronic's face. He's like, I got nothing.
It's part of the game. It's part of the game.
Part of the game. Indigo dies? Yeah.
Everybody dies. Everybody dies.
It's like Game of Thrones in space. Everybody dies.
Wow.
So, as a heads up, I'm going to be probably reviewing this next week. I think, I don't know if you guys had a chance to check this out. A character, Turquoise Blue, released an add-on called Costume Switcher. It literally will switch your costumes out. What you basically do is you create however you want to switch your costumes around. It could be colors or actual pieces. And they have toggles and commands that you can actually move. You can actually command at will, including, like, during combat and stuff. Like, it's really cool. I've seen people use it in action while dueling and whatnot a few weeks ago when he was still testing it out. It's really extraneous of an add-on, but it's really fun, especially if you're our role player or if you're someone who likes to stand out in the crowd a little more.
That's random. So it literally just switches your costume, like
literally, and it does it for you on a macro or command.
That actually could look really cool. I think like some of the gifs or the two gifs in the little description of the add-on look pretty baller.
It was pretty sweet. Like he did it on a stalker, and what he would do is he would go into a warning flashing sign while he's attacking you. So he'd go from like combat to non-combat, and once he hits combat, his whole suit starts flashing red and white, and then it would, once he's out of combat, it would rest. It's really cool. You can kind of just move it to your own will. And I've seen people, like, I saw one person, whenever he'd go into combat, his visor would come on. He would roleplay where the visor would go and come down. And he pulls out his giant mecha shotgun and blows things away. So it's fun. It's a fun little add-on. I'll give you guys a Need Pass review on it next week when I get a chance to play with it a little more.
Sweet.
So we're actually going to skip those next two notes. We're going to go right into getting to know our guests. They've been
No. We have to go over the post that you have on Reddit, which both stopped Krug and myself in our tracks that you actually wrote it.
What?
So, oh, yeah.
So someone asked, how childish is this game?
Oh. So, yeah, someone on said Reddit, yes. Yeah, on Reddit. Let me get their name real fast. I want to make sure we get it right. NF5. He says, hey, I've never played. I want to drop some money. He sees a Snarflinks and he sees a blimp cat. It looks really colorful, cartoony. It's too cute. Is it all PG-13? And he just asks, you know, is this really just a junky, cartoony game for people that are new to the stream, people have not played the game? It's a common expression. It's a very stylized game. But if you take the time while you're leveling to kind of understand what's going on in the world, it's kind of fucked up. This game is honked up beyond all recognition.
So Doc literally puts a list together of all of the horrible sadistic things that have happened in the game,
including but indoctrination,
suicide, existential crises, systematic genocide, messing with people without their consent, that's kind of a weird one, cloning / tampering with life / messing with the environment and its ethical consequences, adultery, abuse, over religious zealotry, brutal / petty. I'm not going to keep going because the list is very long.
Abduction and slavery,
but this game is super
war.
Fucked up. I'm really glad I didn't see incest on this list. That's all.
I don't think it's in the game, but we have a lot of lore and a lot of galaxy to cover.
Yeah.
Pappy might slip something in there.
Nope.
Giggity?
Hey, yo. Can we not say giggity and incest in the same sentence?
Nope. He said Pappy slip it in there. We were done with that sentence. We had cut to a minute ago. Why do you have to stop sometimes, dude?
But this game is dark. For if you're trying to tell friends about the game, which we obviously all believe you should to get your friends into the game and play and enjoy it, they'll say, oh, it looks like a kid's game. It's really not. No. I mean, they've got farting cats, sure. There's childish stuff in here. It's got a nice, fun, cartoony, irreverent sense of humor. It is...
I want to read one last part of the post, which is the very last paragraph, which is, but yes, the Snarflinx is a blimp cat that farts to move and you actually hide in its mouth. Wildstar lives on both sides of the line. Get in, Cupcake. That was just like, whoa, who wrote this? This is amazing. And I scroll up and it was Doc. And I was like, really? Doc wrote something that I enjoyed? That's very surprising.
We just wanted to throw that out there because some people were like, this game looks like that. It's really not. It's enjoyable, especially when you're out there killing people, which we'll get into momentarily.
Yeah.
So we have our two guests who've been very cool and polite, and like, we're just gonna let you guys do your thing. And we brought them on for a fun, very, very specific reason. For those of you that do not know, Chronic and B-Pulse are very active in the PvP community, especially in arenas. And they, I think, are one of the top PvP arena teams in the game, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Sam. Not the top. I know he's watching. Coming for you, Sam. Coming. You too, Vork. Don't you worry.
We're going to get into that right now. So for those of us who do not know who Chronic and B-Pulse are, can you please introduce yourselves?
So I'm the co-leader of Gatlight Gangstars, the leader Sev. We've been together for, I think, about 9 months. It kind of started off as a circle. It ended up turning into a guild on Warhound. Then there was the whole transition into the PvE server. Then we kind of just expanded from there, grabbing some people that did both PvE and PvP. We've had people come and go that go back to PvE and come back to us. I guess we would, ego aside, be considered one of the predominant PvP guilds, one of the larger ones that's what we focus on is PvP only. And we try and work with as many guilds as we can to bring more people into this aspect of the game.
And B-Pulse, for those of you who don't know who you are, can you please introduce yourself?
What to say? I'm a PvPer. All I do is PvP. Don't like the PvE in this game, but it is fun for the bosses. I play Esper, Spellslinger, and Engineer.
That's very interesting.
I love those classes, and I love the difficulty of the Esper and Engineer particularly.
I'm actually People surprised that you're...
The Arena Channel, too.
What'd you say, Kron?
The Arena Channel.
Oh, there's an arena channel called Do You Even Arena Bro? I put that up there, and it also helps with finding other people to arena with. I also have a channel arena. Is it just arena? That you can also just look for other teams as well. It's a way to help out the community.
Yeah, and we'll get that information and put it up on show notes for anyone that's interested to help them get into the arena aspect and get friends and create enemies. Just saying. So first off, I have to ask this very important question because a lot of people know this calling card. Gat, like, who did that and who do I have to shoot in the face?
Right?
Oxy.
Fuck that guy.
Oxy,
so hard.
He's in the chat. Oxy's in the chat right now. Oxy's in the chat right
That's
now.
That's the most annoying fucking add-on I've ever seen.
No. It's the best annoying add-on I've ever seen.
No.
That's only because you die constantly.
Are y'all aware of what the name of it is?
No. Enlighten us.
I feel like if I told you, you'd be like, that is brilliant.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to spread it, though. Really it infuriates people, which
you know
is
what?
Kind of close to the name of it.
Then I think we should leave it. Leave
I'm
it. Let it
curious.
Be.
No, I want to know.
No, then afterwards. We do it privately. We don't want to spread trade secrets.
All right.
All I got to know, if you've ever done a battleground, a war plot, or an arena, and you die consistently, you will love / hate the g-g-g-gat, like, just constantly being spammed.
It was funny for the first couple times, and now that and then you know that you're going to get face stomped for the rest of the match.
He has no words.
That's the problem, is you know that you're going to get face stomped when you see that, or at least I do. Probably other people are better than me, and they're like, oh, Gatlet Gangsters is here. I'm going to try hard and not do as bad as Krug would, but Krug just gets pissed and annoyed and fucking angry.
And you still queue.
Yeah, I do.
So... You said Gatlight's been around for pretty much since launch. Did you guys just kind of band together from the remnants of other guilds, or was there a specific thing like, we know that this niche hasn't been filled, we're going to be one of the PvP guilds that kind of just wreck shop?
I don't think it really started as that. It kind of started from people just doing practice BGs and kind of doing arena and seeing other really good players. And I know I was very fresh to the game. I played beta, didn't play at launch. I missed the first 2 months. And then whenever I joined the game, fresh to the game, I saw a group of these players just consistently just wrecking everybody. And they were always together, and I was like, I've got to get into that group. So immediately sent several RTL, I was like, dude, let me in. I got to get in on this. I can't just keep getting face stomped over and over. So, I mean, we kind of made a circle with, man, it was like 6 or 7 of us. And then it turned into more people wanting to join, and then it came up in chat like, Sev, start a guild. We may as well. There's really no drawback to it. We can get all the perks, everything like that. And then we just kind of started absorbing people as people were either leaving guilds or guilds were collapsing at that time.
And so for those who are interested in possibly talking to more Gatlet Gangsters members, do you guys have any restrictions on players, or do you kind of just go, we'll let you in and we'll, you can join our community, or are you guys very much like, we have a vetting process?
We absolutely have no requirements at all. We don't care if you PvE only. If you want leveling perks, you're more than welcome to join us. We do have taxes enabled, and there's a reasoning for it. If you reach level 50 in our guild and you plan to PvP and you have any interest whatsoever, you can literally tell any of the officers. They will give you plat to get your gear. They will give you plat to get all of your runes and set you up, if you want to know, with a spec, a starter spec, for either BGs or arenas. Everybody's willing to help you out in the guild. I know we get bad raps from a lot of players, but every single one of the people in our guild, there's nobody that's going to tell you no. They may tell you I'm busy right now, but they'll eventually get to you and help you out.
Other than getting the... Sorry, go ahead.
To top it off, on top of that, we do have incentives. If you get 400 rating in arena and BGs, we give you unlimited bank access. Oxy's nudes, that tab, that's off limits. That's the only tab.
For good reason.
Can't see. Good reason. If you get 400 in both, you can lose all the way to 400. So realistically, this is just asking for participation. If you do that, you get full access to all consumables, food, potions, stim packs, the PvP consumables. As many as you want. We literally flood the bank full of them in stacks of 100 or 50 or whatever the max stack is. And we don't have a limit on it. If you want to grab 10 stacks that day and go nuts, by all means, go ahead. We'll refill it. But that's actually something we just started pushing, and I'd like to see more people join up for that specific reasoning.
And obviously, you guys are helping players out with the hope that they will also pay it forward to other players and attempt to further their own PvP prowess. It's not just, here, we'll set you up and go be free. It's like, hey, we want you to be productive, and we have no problem helping you out, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. PvP community really doesn't have many guides. It's not like the PvE community where they break down min-maxing down to math that confuses everybody but probably two or three people on the forums, and they figure everything out. PvP is a little bit different. The stats... still to this point, we really haven't cracked what the perfect min-max is. It's crazy. Eclipse is hot on the trail. He's hot on the trail. He's going to figure it out. So we do have some suggestions, but there's still some stuff that we haven't quite figured out yet.
Yeah, and I've never had a bad run-in. Add on a side, which I always love you, even though it frustrates me. I've never had a bad run-in with anybody from Gatlet, like, even when I was in Warbringer, being chased down constantly. So, yeah. So I got to ask you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have people that like to run their mouth a little bit, and we do. This is kind of an under the carpet kind of incentive. If somebody really antagonizes one of our guild members, we'll put a 50 plat bounty on their head, and our guild will kill that person repeatedly for however long we deem fit. So
I like that. I'm totally cool with that.
To even make it further, we've actually had people from other guilds that have been harassed that have literally paid our members.
Now, I'm not saying this might happen, but if there's ever a hit on a medic with the name Krug STOS and a large portion of platinum suddenly appears in the Gatlet bank, is that a possibility?
It's always a possibility. It's always a possibility. You talk to Seb. Seb is a money hungry guy. For the right price, he will assemble an army that will ruin your day. It will.
He won't even need an army. He'll just need him. Like, just walk over to me, like, "Hi, Krug," and I'll just pass out and die. Like,
there you go. So
easy plat for him, dude.
easy marks. So I gotta ask you guys, since you both are both in the competitive arena scene, and you've also told us in the pre-show that you've done other games besides WildStar. What do you feel are some interesting differences between WildStar and other competitive games that you've played? Not saying what's good or bad, but what have you noticed has been different that either makes a game more challenging or makes the game a little more easy to comprehend?
I think one of the biggest drawbacks to WildStar's combat is the entry-level BGs don't really train you for competitive scene. Competitive scene is about either CC rotations or burst rotations that you synchronize with a team. In BGs, from the ground up, when you start, you're literally secretively taught just Zerg. All of your abilities can hit anybody. It doesn't matter if your healer over there is getting trained, 9 times out of 10, if you're in a pug, that person doesn't care whether or not you're going to die. They're just tunneling their targets, and they're not prioritizing anything. Whereas Arena, that's going to require you to do a little bit more. So that's a kind of a drawback. But from WoW and other games, Arena and BGs, it's still the same concept at high level. You need to be doing certain things to kill certain players, and there should always be a priority. Another thing is, just like in other games, playing multiple classes is a huge advantage. I can't say that enough. Just absolutely knowing other classes in and out is the biggest advantage you can get over an opponent.
Are there classes that you two prefer to play as yourselves? Or are there other classes that you may not want to admit you have a challenge with?
I play Medic, Warrior, Esper, and Slinger. Mainly the Medic. I do play the Spellslinger probably secondary, the Warrior third, and then the Esper is pretty fresh. They all kind of have their different playstyles. Some are fluid, some are more utilities. They all have their own niche. And pretty much focusing on one and really understanding it before moving to the other would be my biggest suggestion to anybody.
So how do you... let's go with this. How do you feel about the flavors of each class? So we'll go like through each one in a row. And how do you guys feel they play in arenas? And where do you feel like their synergies are best with? So say like Esper. How do you feel about Esper's taking flavor of the month out of the picture? How do you feel about that class? And then how do you feel about their synergies with other classes?
I'll let B-Pulse lead with this one.
I feel like Espers are good in any comp, really. Like, they bring CC. They can bring damage, depending on the spec, depending on the build. And they synergize really well with other classes. Like, a Esper with an Engineer would also be good.
Because more of a healing aspect or a DPS aspect?
Espers in Arena are more utility. Okay. So you bring in an Esper for the utility, not just the raw damage. But it can provide damage depending on the spec. And, yeah, all that utility really works out for the comp.
To add on to the healing part, I know B-Pulse doesn't play the healing part. It fits its own role as being kind of one of the weaker healers for health or for healing per se. But as far as kill potential, the Esper healer technically has the most because of the CC. If he can control the battle, no damage is going out anyway, and you can land a kill there. That's where he makes up for the lack of, I guess, healing. Their abilities are kind of poorly designed, but they make up for it in fixation and their CC rotation.
And going to call Espers the CC gods.
I think we've all felt that even at low level PvP, Espers kind of wreck face with their
CC. I believe we call it the CC train.
Yes.
And I don't really notice the diminishing returns that much personally, if they even exist, but that's just me. How do you guys feel about Engineers as a playstyle, and how do their synergies lie?
B-Pulse can answer this one too.
Remember, everyone sucks at this.
They work well in every comp, honestly. They have a healing debuff. They have high bursts. There's really no downside to having an engineer in a comp. They're so good. The problem is they're so complicated to play. That's another reason why I love engineer so much, is because they're so complicated. Others like Bork has played engineer and he plays it with electrocute. I prefer boltcaster because I like skill shots. I like to use skill. No offense to Bork, I just don't like electric.
No offense to Bork at all. Everybody knows where Bork stands on his engineer. Like,
you point it, and then it kills people. I like to aim. I like to have skill in it.
Sure.
So even if it's less OP or more OP, I don't know. I just like the boltcaster build. Okay. I prefer that.
And how do you? So you said they it's just like the Esper. They kind of can fit with just about anybody. Just tweak
pretty
them around
much,
a little bit.
Yeah, the healing debuff is so good, and most of the time they're gonna have healers in threes.
Okay, and obviously how you play them in PvP is going to be different than how you would typically play them in PvE. I know B-Pulse prefers to stay out of the PvE arena if he can, but if Chronic and all of us have kind of seen its differences in how the classes run when you're going from a normal mob to, oh my god, somebody else is on the other side and they're dodging everything, why can't I fucking hit them, why am I dead? So how do you guys feel about medics? I'm going to go through all the classes. I want to see how you guys feel about it at this level of PvP, and we'll go through a little more after that.
I'll take the medic. DPS, I know that there was a forum post recently by Eclipse where he suggested that medic DPS, or medic in general, needs to find its role kind of now with the wide AoE and just kind of brainless approach to DPS. I wouldn't call it brainless, honestly. I mean, yes, it has all of that. There is a very weird rotation in it. For me personally, it might not be that difficult for other people. It's a weird rotation. And they need to find their role. What I kind of have a problem with is medic's supposed to be the master of shields, and yet there's four classes that are the master of shields. Four classes can do an overload, whereas I kind of figured that was going to be the medic strong suit, but there's four classes that do it. So it's like, now me and him have talked about it, where it's kind of like we would like to see it go into a damage with healing to group return, which kind of gets away from the shield thing. With all the overload, if we did a shield healing return from damage, it's like, what are you really doing? Like, yes, it'll be there, but it's not really effective. So they're kind of in, I guess, purgatory at this point for design as to where they're going to go. Medic healing, it's in your face, consistent healing with some burst. The drawback to a medic healer is you're there. You're right there. You are easily double CC'd. And that's the key to victory in arena. If you can land multiple CCs in a rotation, what are you going to do? You blow your CC break and it's over with after that. You may have a soft CC break in urgency. That's really not going to save you. But I think they're in a good place. I really like their amps. Everything is pretty well distributed. I have really no qualms with them.
So they kind of have to have a specific group composition to really shine, whereas unlike the last two classes can kind of just fill in wherever you feel like it.
Yes. I think the medic requires a team to be built around it more so than other classes.
Okay.
They have to be supported by their
On the counterpoint to that, Stalker is the same way, if not even like more extreme.
Let's go right into the Stalker then. How do you guys feel about Stalker as a class? Not taking all the flavor of the month stuff out of the way, how they feel with their kits and how they synergize other classes.
I really think that they need to get away from the burst. I know a lot of people love the burst. They really do. And it's lethal. Don't get me wrong. It is lethal, but it's so difficult in arena, especially in threes. For once you open, B-Pulse is going to disarm you. I'm telling you that now. You're not finishing that burst. You're not finishing it. And if he's not going to do it, I'll extricate my partner out of the burst, and then you're really screwed. So it's like they don't really have any sustain. There's absolutely no sustain at all. They literally just open and then run for their lives, leaving their two partners fending for themselves to a degree. I mean, I know you have tethers and stuff like that, but it just seems that way. Every time we face even a intimidating Stalker composition, whether it be Nitsua, Ramix, Vork, Hankster, any of the really good Stalkers, it's like we just have to survive the burst. If we just weather the burst, he really can't do anything. Like, we just got to top each other off, and it's over with from there. Like, put a dot on him, you know where he is now, so just follow him around and kill him. One of the biggest mistakes I have seen watching through B-Pulse's stream is a medic Stalker composition, a medic healer running transfusion, and the Stalker gets low and transfusion attaches himself to the stealth Stalker. Literally, I'm watching the stream and I tell Seb and TeamSpeak, I'm like, dude, look at the beam. Just follow the beam and kill the Stalker. Like,
that's hilarious.
So obviously a medic Stalker may not be the greatest combination. Well, how would you feel?
Would need to be not.
Just yeah. Remove transfusion. Remove transfusion, because that is a clear sign as to where you are.
Silly oversight. Giant green line to the Stalker that stops exactly where he's standing.
Yeah. So, and you're saying, you know, Stalkers are kind of like, once you get past the 3 seconds, disarm them and you're kind of in the clear. Do you see a lot of like hit and run style compositions with Stalkers in your level of arena, or have you seen them on the way up? I've seen them a few times in lower level where you'll get like two Stalkers and a Spellslinger, and it's hit and run, disappear, hit and run, disappear, hit and run, disappear, hit and run, disappear,
yeah,
and kind of win.
Verk said in chat the problem with Stalkers is that they're designed as a hit and run class and there's no other viable build. It's just, this is the burst class.
He's right.
That's all you can play.
He's right. There's been a couple teams on the way up that we've seen. Probably the top team running it is Eclipse and Hank, and they're not a joke to mess with, dude. They will kill you. They'll kill you in literally the drop of a hat, and you better be quick, because there's really not much you can do. There really isn't. But it's like, even in that 3v2, if you can just stop the Stalker, or just dot him, you've got him from then on. He's going to eventually die. Like, the arena's too small. He can only run for so long. He can run for so long before you catch him, and maybe he can reopen and he'll get another kill, but they're just it's really, really difficult. And well, I think they don't have a healer that actually can support that playstyle. I mean, not anything against the people that have played with him. Yeah, not any against anything against the people that have played with him. They're all very good healers. It's just a different style of arena that it's high risk, high reward. If you mess up, you probably just lost the game.
I always thought it was a weird choice, too, to have a class built specifically around Burst. Like, just from a design perspective, having a class that's annoying, essentially. Bringing time to kill down to its, like, bare minimum for a single target. So that the target is obviously super, super frustrated because I just died immediately. There's nothing I could do about it unless, obviously, your team's, like, on point. I don't understand the design, like, game there.
I agree.
Like, increasing time to kill across the board should be the goal to, like, a specific, you know, period or a specific range of time.
Mm-hmm. Now, we got two more classes to go over real quick, and then we'll a few more questions. It's very odd. But how do you guys feel about Spellslinger, at least at your level of competition?
It's kind of a transition right into the same thing. It's high-risk, high-reward type composition. I don't think there is any top teams right now that are running a Spellslinger DPS because it's kind of the same thing except without stealth. You charge shot and from then on it's kind of like, oh, you're just going to kind of tickle me for a little while and then you'll blast me again. That's not to say they're not deadly. They are deadly, but in a team composition where they're aware of the Spellslinger, if he stuns you, one of your teammates needs to interrupt that next charge shot if he's running the crit. You need to kind of work around his charge shot to stop him from blowing you up, which is kind of obvious when there's a 35 meter telegraph that's kind of building up and you see it clear as day. It's like, just throw something at him.
The big Spellslinger dong.
But I mean, B-Pulse plays it very well too. He can speak on the DPS side of it. The Heal Slinger is phenomenal. It's a really good utility to have with you. You're not affected by the overload. The burst is higher than any other class. The utility, I'm willing to say that it's, as far as increase the damage and stats, it's the highest. There's Medic might be able to compete, but Void Pact is just ridiculous.
So in terms, so you brought up utility between Espers and Spellslingers. So you feel like for Espers, utility is more controlling your opponent, whereas a Spellslinger is more like controlling your team.
Correct.
Okay. So if you're looking for that kind of angle for putting together a threes or getting into threes and you're going Heal Slinger, that's something to keep in mind. And finally, we have Warriors. So how do you guys feel about these guys?
There is a lot of back and forth about Warriors.
Now, is that before drop five or has it always been going on?
After drop five, is you've seen a lot of the top Warriors really frustrated. They're really frustrated. I can't personally say that I agree with it. Top team right now, X-Daddy, the Warrior, phenomenal. His damage is insane. And that's one of the main concerns is that people are like, well, we just do consistent damage with a one-minute burst, and we don't have really any CC. And a lot of these Warriors were so used to running around detonate that they're just like, I can't kill something when I innate. Like, what's wrong here? Like, I'm not just blowing somebody up. And they really kind of got stuck on, I guess, theory crafting their way through the changes. And they started venturing to other classes. I mean, there's still some that are doing it, but it kind of took other people that kind of alt the class to kind of say, look, maybe you should try this. Maybe you should try this. And then they kind of took it from there and started doing their own thing. But I think they're in a good spot. I think Warriors right where a class should be in the balance. And I hope that they don't make them broken again.
So we're getting close to the end here. And I know the three of us, I've been talking a lot as I always do, but I know Krug and Indigo in the chat have actually been really, really receptive and very happy about getting all this information because this is a scene that a lot of us don't get to see. And I see other high level PvP people in the chat as well and other PvP regulars in the chat. And it's really cool being able to see something more into this scene other than just, we need to get more PvP incentives or whatnot or change this and fix that. So I just want to say I'm really glad to have you guys around.
It's also nice to be able to talk about PvP without everybody in chat telling us we're wrong all the time.
Well, that's every episode. We've got 49 episodes with you guys are so wrong.
having people that actually know what they're talking about as far as PvP is definitely a breath of fresh air.
So one last question before we start wrapping things up is, what would you tell somebody, because I believe we might get some new people listening to this cast as well, people that are getting into the game, what kind of words of advice, it's kind of cliche, what would you give them to help them out when they start their PvP journey, or to entice them to do that instead of just PvE?
Play something you enjoy. Pick the class you enjoy. I can't tell you how many people come to me in Gatlag that join us that are like, should I play this healer class or should I play this healer class? And it's like every single class currently can be viable. Some are more difficult. Slinger and Stalker are probably the two most difficult, but it's that high risk, high reward type thing. If you really stay at it, you can get some serious efficiency out of those classes. But you need to pick something that you enjoy, because there's going to be frustration. You're going to lose a lot. I promise you, you're going to lose a lot. I lost a lot at the beginning of this game. I'm probably going to lose a lot from here on out. It doesn't matter. Just take the punches.
What
take
doesn't
the punches.
Kill you makes you strong.
When you finally
beat
that team.
But when you lose,
team,
you do get killed. So.
But when you finally beat that team that continues to punish you, it's a great feeling. I mean, me personally, I don't find anything more satisfactory than somebody trash talking me as much as they possibly can and then me laying the smack down on them, dude.
Especially when they're trash talking you and you're just utterly silent and then wait for it and sit down and then you leave.
B-Pulse, what about you?
What, for the trash talking?
Just in general. We'll go with trash talking. And like, what would you tell someone who's kind of poking their head into the PvP scene, or how would you entice someone to do more PvP?
Learn the class a little bit more. Like, understand where they are. Like, maybe you're an aggressive player, so you'd play a Stalker. Maybe you like to stealth. Just know the feeling of the class. Like, an Esper is like, You're a CC god, you have all that utility, a warrior, you're up in their face. Understand your play style, get into the class, and then, you know, understand it. It's really fun once you understand your class and the different play styles that each class has. That's what I would say. Just get to know the class. I fell in love with the Esper. I fell in love with the Spellslinger. I fell in love with the Engineer. All different play styles, all different great things that come from them.
Sorry, someone sent me something about trash talk, and I should have brought this question up because there's an interesting back and forth between PvP communities in general and gaming. And you guys want to go a few more minutes over our show to talk about this?
We don't have a set time thing, dude. Just keep going until you're done.
How do you guys? I know we talked light about trash talking. I think we all might kind of be the same mind in this stream. But how do you guys actually feel about it? Is there a line that you believe is that can be crossed? Do you just feel like, no, trash talking is trash talking, put up or shut up?
I think whenever it becomes personal is a little too far. You know, I mean, you should never degrade somebody as a person. That's just, I kind of draw the line at that point. You know, there's no reason for that. A little trash talk, like, my team's going to beat your team, A-okay. If I see personal attacks in guild, I'm definitely going to, A, call the person out in private. Like, you need to either stop that or I will remove them. Like, there's no reason to attack somebody's character like that.
So basically,
personally, what I would do is Q Arenas. You don't even have to say anything. Just say Q Arenas.
So the best put up or shut up is, okay, I'll see you there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. Some people were like, oh, you, said this and this, it hurts my feelings and feelings are coming into account. It's interesting to see that kind of, it's kind of been around since competitive gaming in general has happened, right? I mean, even, I'm going to go old school, really just crazy old, like Pong. People trash talking about Pong. And it's okay to say, like, yeah, you can't hit the goddamn broadside of a barn with your fucking true shot. But I do have to agree where if it does get personal, I think that someone needs to be pulled aside and just be like, look, man, I get it. It's okay to be competitive. It's okay to get hyped up. It's okay to make sure that you get into your opponent's mind. But we don't really care about his mama, your mama. Just keep it on the field, and then cue Arenas.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, the instigator add-on, like we talked about, that's something that a lot of our members, there's a lot of people in Gatlag that really do care about the community, and they don't want people to get frustrated to the point that they quit. We kind of went through a phase, like several months back, where it was competitive with every member in our team. And we were literally, we didn't care if you were a pug. We would spawn camp you endlessly and never give up and never give you any breathing room. And we literally, no ego, we literally saw a decline in the amount of people queuing up, whether it be changes or not. It was during a time that we were doing that. So a lot of those people that were so competitive to push people out have kind of taken a step back, and that's why we've kind of taken the approach now, like, we kind of need to nurture the community to get it to a friendlier state, because not everybody has that competitive mindset of, I'm going to win every single time, no matter what. Even if I lose, I'm going to figure something out. Not everybody has that. Some people just play for fun, man.
Cool. That's good to hear. And I'm glad to hear that there's – you actually see a reflection in the community pool if people start to take it too seriously. So we're going to start wrapping this up for the audio portion of the podcast. Chronic, is there any way we can see more of your stuff, whether it's WildStar or gaming-related or arena-specific online?
Yeah, you can check me out on YouTube, Chronic TV. I do sometimes stream. I haven't done it in a long time, mainly because my girlfriend's always on my streaming PC. My main computer, the processor, just can't handle both. So I got a two PC setup, and she's just been hogging it. So like as soon as I should have never introduced her to YouTube. But as soon as she just gets away from that stuff and I get that PC back, I'll start streaming again, and it's just Chronic.
I thought you were gonna say I should have never started dating her.
Oh, come on.
Whoa, dude. I hope she's not watching. Just saying.
She's like, look, YouTube. It's not like he's gonna get in trouble. I'm gonna get in trouble.
Look, then Chronic,
he can go to her and be like, nah, baby.
Chronic, just let her know it's @strange_tales if she needs to talk to somebody. And Beeples, where can we find your stuff online?
I haven't streamed in a while, but you can find me on twitch.tv/Beeples.
Nice.
I have to start streaming again. I have builds for Esper Engineer and Spellslinger. I'm working on the Esper one right now, so I'll post that up shortly.
Cool. That's actually really cool.
Where do you post them at?
What'd you say?
Where do you post those up at?
It's like right under my stream, so you just scroll down and you'll see the picture. Oh, okay. Esper PvP, awesome. NG PvP, Spellsinger PvP.
That's
like
good to know.
Perfect.
Go check those out.
Indigo, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at IndigoJonesQT. That's it. Just JonesQT. I also run our Facebook page, our Q Times Twitter account, which is _QTimes. Yeah. So go, if you haven't already, go like us, subscribe, follow us, all that fun stuff. Get more up-to-date information as we put more stuff out.
Krug, where can we find you?
@Stranger_Tales on Twitter. You can also find me by emailing me at Oh, no, that's not my email. This is why I fucking hate doing this show live, dude, because I can never fucking do this shit right the first
time. It was better when we edited it.
Krug@QTimes.com.
It's Krug@QTimes.com. That's QUEUETIMES.com.
As for myself, you can find me at DocQT. If you're going to be in the LA area this coming week for E3, I'm going to be at the Hotel Figueroa for the NCSoft meet and greet. So if you see this hat, you'll probably see me not like right under it. So you can come and say hi or come and say no. And I'll be fine. I'll laugh and hug you in either way.
Please don't hug people if they give you the finger. They will report you for
those people. I would love to hug either way. You're who hurt you as a child, my dear? Who hurt you?
Thank you, everyone, for watching, and everyone that is listening, thank you very much.
Bye. Nobody joined in? Nobody. No backup.
You don't deserve it.
Fly solo.
They know. They know better.